When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
If you're about to make a change in your life and you feel uncomfortable, that's the best feeling you can have. Because for the first time in your life, you're making a decision that's going to be best for you and not what somebody told you to do. And that's when all bets are off.
Welcome to Money Making Conversation Masterclass. I'm your host, Rashawn McDonald. Our theme is there's no perfect time to start following your dreams. I recognize that we all have different definitions of success. For you, it may be the size of your paycheck. It's time to stop reading other people's success stories and start living your own.
Keep winning.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Money Making Conversations Masterclass. This is a show that I set up in 2017 to sit down and interview people about their success stories, entrepreneurs, celebrities. Originally started out with celebrities because I felt that people wanted to hear from celebrities. They wanted to hear their stories, and I would draw those big numbers and ratings, and everybody would want to hear the show and listen to the sex stories of celebrities. Then I realized people don't care about celebrities. They want to hear about people like you that listen to the show, entrepreneurs, everyday people. They want to hear about people, nonprofits that are making a difference in the community. I'm not saying I don't do celebrities on the show, but I realize that everyday wins. The regular everyday person who has something to say, that's doing something in the community on a regular basis, is the person that is impacted by the listeners who listen to Money Making Conversations Masterclass. So let's get the show rolling. Not saying my guest is not a celebrity, but I'm saying he's an impactful person in the community, a person you definitely want to hear from. He's best suited to address questions that intersects young leaders with leadership, teamwork, motivational, and personal development, which are all key components when you're trying to be successful in life. Please welcome to Money Making Conversation Masterclass, Omar L. Harris. How you doing, Omar?
Hey, Rashawn, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on the show. And I was just pointing out that you are the new stars, man. You're everyday people, you know, you ain't got 1 billion social media followers, but you have motivation, you have information, and you have a resume that people want to hear about. What is the basis of the foundation for what your brand is all about, Omar?
The foundation really is all about leadership, and more importantly, servant leadership. Servant leadership is the concept that the higher up you go in an organization, the higher and greater responsibility you have to lead and to affect the employees in your care, and serve and support them to help them achieve their goals and develop them and coach them. And so it's we over me is the attitude of a servant leader. Basically, it's like, how can we achieve bigger and more ambitious goals together, leave nobody behind, and collectively impact the community, customers, and the environment, and even shareholders. But it all starts with the intention of the leader themselves.
With the leader. And is that somebody that's appointed or somebody that just assumes that opportunity?
So basically, you know, leadership can be a title. So basically, you can think of someone who has a title like director or manager or whatnot.
Right.
But leadership is actually earned, not given. So people can follow you because of your title, right? Because they have to. But the most effective leaders, people follow them because they want to, because of the way that individual connects with them, builds trust with them, and demonstrates their true intention is for the good of that human being or those human beings in their charge. And so that's really much more effective of getting things done when people lean into you because of how you lead, not because of what your title is.
Right. That really is interesting when you say it like that, because of the fact that some people can lead based on fear, based on repercussions, but that's not the right level of leadership if you want loyalty, correct?
Exactly. I call those individuals bosses, and I wrote a book, Be a Jedi Leader, Not a Boss,
right,
for that reason. You know, everyone talks about bossing. And I think, you know, being the boss of oneself, cool, very empowering, very, very, very inspiring. But when you aspire to boss other people, people don't even understand where the word boss comes from. The word boss comes from the word Dutch for master. And it was actually implemented after slavery to keep us calling people master. So when you use the word boss, there's a very heavy connotation to that terminology that we should really move away from. No one should want to ever be called a boss in the workplace. But if you're called coach or called manager or called leader, these are much more aspirational and more effective titles to lean into.
Well, you know, when I listen to you, Omar, that journey started somewhere. I know, like I said, you know, you pick up information along the way. I know I did. You know, people mentored me. People told me, Rashawn, you should do this, even though I wanted to take the easy route. You know, there's always the what you should be doing is always the harder route. Don't you agree, Omar?
100% agree with that. Yes. Do the hard things first. I say it all the time. Do the hard things first.
And so how did it all start for you? You know, where are you based at now, and where did you start?
So I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina now. Been a long, winding road to Charlotte. I was born in Pittsburgh. But I would say my journey to leadership began at the illustrious Florida A&M University in Tallahassee,
FAMU.
Florida.
Mm-hmm.
FAMU, yes, sir. And, you know, I was in the School of Business and Industry. And that's where we were basically, they called us the Marines of business schools, because of how we would go through this boot camp process and then come out the other side as primed and prepped leaders ready to take on the corporate world. And I did take on the corporate world. For over 20 years, I worked in pharmaceuticals from the U.S., Latin America, Middle East, and Asia over the course of a 20-year career. I've lived everywhere from Brazil to Turkey to Indonesia over the course of my career, leading teams and organizations of different sizes and scopes, and really got to test my brand of leadership around the world, which is why I know that it's truly unique and applicable, because it's not just theoretical. A lot of people you talk to are talking from a space of theory or what makes sense, but I'm talking from a space of actual practicality, what I've actually done over the course of my career living around the world.
And that's important. Now, let's break down this whole living around the world and exercising leaderships in those different moments, because I'm sure you're dealing with different types of people, different races of people, gender.
Yes.
And just walk us through those different steps of what is the most challenging when you are leading around the world, but then what allows you the most satisfaction when you do lead around the world?
Right. Well, the most challenging aspect of leading around the world to me was leading in places where the culture goes against my leadership style. So, for example, in Indonesia, they are a very indirect culture, and I'm a very direct individual, and they actually very much respond to hierarchy. So basically, if you don't have a title in Indonesia, it's hard to get things done, because people only respect title. And I went in there with this whole idea of flattening the hierarchy, getting rid of titles, and just doing the right thing for the good of patients, because we were working in a pharmaceutical context. And that was very challenging to get people to actually lean in and believe in me, because I wasn't coming from a position of hierarchy. I wasn't imposing. I wasn't telling people what to do. I was trying to engage them in the purpose of our organization and then get them to do the right thing because they believe in the purpose, which is a lot harder to do as a leader, but it's also much more sustainable. Once people connect with purpose, they connect their individual purpose to the organization's purpose, then you're off to the races. So that was a really great lab for me to actually implement and see how much I really believe in my leadership philosophies, because it would have been very easy to discard those and just lean into hierarchy and say, do it because I tell you to do it. But I never did that. I made sure that I led through supporting and serving and not dictating and directing.
You know, it's really interesting when you talk about leadership, you know, because everybody wants to believe they are a leader. You know, there are, like you said, there are natural ways to leadership. There's assigned leadership. But when you're trying to manage, is there, when I use the word management and leadership, are they different terms, management and leadership?
They actually are. There's three terms, actually. I said there's three modes of leadership. There's manager mode, coach mode, and leader mode.
Okay.
So you're in leader mode when you are inspiring and motivating and performance. So basically, when you're leaning into purpose and saying, listen, we're trying to achieve this vision. When you're being visionary and when you're inspiring and motivating, you're leading because you're getting people to follow you. When you're coaching, you are working with people on an individual or group basis to correct or to enhance behaviors. So you're coaching, basically trying to dial up positive behaviors and dial down negative behaviors. And when you're managing, you are focusing on the work being done itself. So how the quality and the care being put into the work itself is being managed, basically achieving key performance indicators. And these types of terminology is what you're doing fundamentally when you're managing a business or managing people.
Now I'm talking to Omar L. Harris. He basically talking about leadership, teamwork, motivation, and personal development. Reason I bring this up because, you know, we have so many people listening to the show. They have a small business, or they might be, you know, major corporations. And when you walk into a session or employees, you might have 20 different people, but all different personalities. And you laid out three pillows there. So when you look at it, because everybody works differently. Some people are self-motivated. Some people you have to get in and get the work out of them. Some people show up on time. Some people want to stay late.
Yep.
And then you have different gender tones and ethnicities. People listening to this show, and because I'm not talking about the military, that's a whole different conversation. I'm talking about that 40-hour week person. How does your structure come into play when you're dealing with so many different personalities as well as different gender?
Well, this is why leadership is hard work, Rashawn, because it's not why you get paid the big bucks. When I ask people, why do you want to be a leader? Usually it's because they want the salary, they want the bag, they want the status. But, you know, with great status comes great responsibility. Now what are you going to do? Now you're a leader. What are you going to do? Who's going to follow you, right? And so you have to – the goal of a leader is you have to individualize leadership, to your point. I need to know where everybody in my organization is on their journey. I need to know who to direct, who to coach, who to empower, and who to delegate to. And that's not going to be the same group of people. And depending on I have to adjust my style to the needs of my people. That's what it means by serving them. Serving leadership. I'm serving you by adapting my style, meeting you where you are, and helping you get to the next level. So it's a lot of work to be a leader. So leadership gets thrown around a lot, but there's very few actual leaders leading in this way in the world, unfortunately.
Well, you know, it's important when I bring this up, and I smile because of the fact that, you know, you want to be a leader. You want that responsibility that comes with leadership. But like you said, it's so mentally draining. Like and you hire people, because I'm in the position to hire people, in the position to also terminate people. But you don't hire people to terminate them. You hire them and hopefully you made the best decision, because you go through a weed out process that you brought a person on board that meets the standards that you have. But then that person has to be assimilated into the culture. You know, and that's where I'm assuming the management comes in there. And then the leadership has to allow them to, talking to your other employees, to allow them to understand the strategy of how this person is going to be positioned into the workflow. But what fails sometimes is that you just want people just to fit in and do their job. Sometimes you just get tired, Omar. Can you just do it? And I say that when I smile, because I know that if there are people listening on this call, listening to the show, are there too. They go, hey, man, can I just hire somebody? And they just do their job and I just go home. But that's not the case, correct?
Rashawn, it depends on what your ultimate goal is. I mean, once again, we over me. If you want it, if the highest level of ambition requires the highest level of leadership. If you don't have high ambition, then you can do that. You can just tell people what to do and they'll do it and then they'll go home. But they're not going to engage and give themselves fully to the work.
Right.
And so what you want, I mean, we're talking about engagement, because engagement leads to productivity. And if you want to inspire the highest levels of productivity, you have to make the person feel essential to the work being done. Not just do this work, but bring your best self to doing the work. And bring your best self to doing the work because you believe in the cause of the mission. And so that's where it gets really, really tricky. It gets hard for people to elevate themselves from bossing, get out of bossing, and get into managing, coaching, and leading. They have to negate and get rid of their self-orientation and focus on what the other person needs to get to that level that they're already at, because they already achieved, or they started the business, or they're in that position.
Well, you know, they got that job, they're cashing that check, and I'm looking at
right.
them. I'm going, I got to get more out of them. Because I want to get into one of your techniques, your motivational techniques, yeah. the insight into motivating yeah. one. And I'm very serious. Yeah. I've been in the position to hire people the last 20 years of my life. I've been hiring and securing people for full-time job opportunities, and each one of them is different. But along the way, sometimes you give people too much rope, too much opportunity, hoping and maybe even praying that they would get it. What is the motivational techniques I should be using so I won't get frustrated, Omar?
So once again, go back to basic principles. Go back to childhood when you first learned to ride a bike, right? When you first learned how to ride a bike, did your mom or dad let you ride around the entire neighborhood, go wherever you wanted?
No.
They told you, you can ride in the yard right here.
Right.
Right? You can ride a bike in the yard right here. Once you've proven you can ride a bike in the yard right here without killing yourself or hurting anybody else, you can go down a block to this point. Come back. Go down a block, come back. Only after you've demonstrated that for a while will I let you release the reins and allow you to ride the bike wherever you want as it comes with your maturity. So understanding, no matter what you expect of somebody coming into an organization, everybody needs that, goes through that process, whether they're very senior or whether they're very junior. There's a process of onboarding where you need to basically define the boundaries for them in that initial stage. In this initial stage, I want you doing this kind of work. I'm going to release you, but I need to see you do this kind of thing well first. And so this gives them confidence to get things done in an effective way. They build their confidence, and you build your trust in them. That allows you to release them to go further and further and further faster in their journey. And so motivationally, create the boundaries initially for what you want someone to do. Don't just have someone come in the door and dump all the work that wasn't being done on this individual and be like, figure it out. That's what usually happens. People come in, you like, figure it out, right? Because you don't want to be bothered with it. You want to basically hand off the work. But if you do that, you're going to bury the person. They're not going to be motivated. They're not going to be engaged. And they're going to see that it was all about you in the first place, not about them. Well, and so take a step to do that, help them out.
Well, you know, Omar, it's something you said really key in this whole conversation with the word onboarding. And that is something I had to learn. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to bring that at the top of the conversation, the onboarding process that you have to put in play when you bring in a new employee in so they can understand the culture. If you don't onboard them and just have them walk out there and just kind of figure out on their own, you're going to have a problem. And I've had that problem in the past. And onboarding and HR plays a major role in correcting those issues. Be right back with more Money Making Conversation Masterclass and my guest, Omar L. Harris. Thank you. Be right back.
We'll be right back with more Money Making Conversations Masterclass with Rashawn McDonald.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. Oracle.com/strategic.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Welcome back to the Money Making Conversations Masterclass, hosted by Rashawn McDonald. Money Making Conversations Masterclass continues online at moneymakingconversations.com. And follow Money Making Conversations Masterclass on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
I'm speaking to Omar L. Harris, and he's educated me. He's allowed me to speak honestly about how I have dealt with employees that I've hired over the years, and hopefully the information that he's given me is hitting home with some of the people who are listening to the show. And, you know, Omar, when I sit down and I think about myself as an individual, you know, sometimes you can, you know, it can be a daunting task because, you know, you have a budget for a number of employees you can hire. And so there's a certain level of expectation that you need to see happen in that position that you hire. But the onboarding process, it's where I was failing miserably when I was bringing new employees on board. Can you expound on that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is actually something that I went through in my leadership journey as well, where I, you know, basically assumed because someone had a certain level of career maturity or title coming in the door that I didn't need to kind of hold their hand on the way in.
Mm-hmm.
And what I realized is that, you know, success is context dependent. So just because you were successful in a previous context, just because LeBron James won a championship in Cleveland don't mean he's going to win one in LA.
Right.
So you have to still be onboarded into the organization, the culture, the values, the principles, the expectations. And so what I began doing was realizing that HR was only going to help me so much. So HR was only going to basically bring people into the culture and help them meet other individuals, but they weren't going to get onboarded to my expectations and my leadership styles, and we weren't going to be able to build trust right from the beginning. So I innovated a 3-hour onboarding conversation that I had with each person who directly reported into me. So I spent 3 hours in the first 2 weeks with every person who directly reported into me, whether I inherited them or whether I hired them, and built trust, conversed about styles, conversed about strengths, creating powerful partnerships. We discussed our expectations. We discussed upcoming priorities. And I explained to them, I'm giving you 90 days to get up to speed. And so I'm going to support you, really hold your hand for 90 days. At day 91, the training wheels go off and you're going around the block. But for 90 days, listen, come to me for everything you need. I'm here to give you all the support you need to make sure you are successful. I want to set you up for success. And so that, to some leaders, that's a tremendous burden. It's like, oh, I have to do that? Well, okay, if you don't do it, the implication of not doing that kind of action, whether that be 1 hour or 3 hours or any amount of time, is that this person is not going to connect with you right away. They're not going to understand the parameters and expectations of how they're being measured and what's going to make them successful. And they're not going to have permission to come to you to ask all their questions that they have or to get directed to resources within the organization to get their questions asked. Because the biggest thing to success when you're doing an organization is knowing the whens, hows, whos, whats, whys. You have to get all that stuff answered in order for you to be set up for success. That takes around 90 days. Giving people that grace is really important. Giving them that support is really important. Then you can watch them fly.
Right. It's really important. And also, you know, that 90-day window usually is the probation window that you give employees. So it's important to keep that eye. And that's where the whole evaluation process comes in because, again, all these things matter because people come to work for you. One, they've accepted the job based on the income that you're offering them.
Mm-hmm.
Along the way, they are not going to be satisfied with that salary a year from now or 2 years. They might not be satisfied right. 90 days from now. And so that means that you have to evaluate that. And in speaking to you, Omar, when you're talking about leadership, when you're a small business owner and entrepreneur, you are the leader. You know, you're not working for a Fortune 500 company. What are some of the advice for aspiring entrepreneurs starting new business and maintaining, you know, the resilience are facing these challenges that they should do? Are there some steps? Like we talked about HR. Yeah. We talked about HR is just the starting point. You have to take it to the rest. What are some of the building points for an entrepreneur?
I would take a step back. When you're an entrepreneur, you know that every hire counts.
Right.
You cannot really afford to make bad hiring decisions. Because every individual you bring in is going to be doing more than whatever your title for them is anyway, because you're small, right? And when you're small, you have to do everything. So what I tell people is to prioritize behaviors over pedigree. So it doesn't matter where you went to school. Doesn't matter what your previous experience says on your resume. What I care about is what I call the whom, the W-H-O-M. So I want to understand your work ethic, your heart, so basically shared passion, your optimism, which is an O, and your maturity. When I calibrate this actually via a questionnaire that I have in my first book, Leaderboard, the DNA of High Performance Teams. But basically, this process of whom interviewing allows me to calibrate and bring in the right, what I call team DNA, right from the start. So I don't make hiring mistakes. I make sure I bring in the right team DNA, and then I can mold that DNA towards tasks and what's happening within the business. But it's hard to fix a mistake you've made in a hiring process. And you know, if you hire somebody poorly or you hired poorly, you know that this is a very costly, timely mistake, and it can really take the wind out of the sails of a small business, especially.
Well, you know, let's be real now. When you hire somebody, they may have had another job they've left. So you just kind of, it's been maturity on both sides here. Maturity that you made a mistake in your hiring, but you've also asked this person to trust you in the hiring process. So if you've hired the wrong person, you have to take on responsibility. And I think this is what Omar is saying. When you onboard somebody, there has to be handholding. You just can't push somebody in the corner where you got a master's degree or you got experience in computer science or you got experience in accounting. Go do what you do. Because this person has come on board into your company, bought into your culture, and you just can't go, well, I've hired the wrong person. Maybe you've shown bad leadership. When do we accept responsibility? We are not doing our job, Omar, as leaders.
Oh, yeah. This is the most important thing. There's a concept called the window in the mirror. And so the window in the mirror concept is basically this. If true leaders, what they do is when it comes time to give praise, they look out the window. So basically trying to look for people to give praise to. But when it comes time to take accountability for actions, they look in the mirror. So you look at yourself. So basically the first port of call for when things go bad, look in the mirror. Look at what you did wrong, raise your own self-awareness, and understand where you could have improved yourself. And admit where you failed. But when it comes time to giving out praise, be generous, open that window, and shout to the rooftops about the praise. And that's what real, you know, as a very simple concept, but basically the window in the mirror allows you to think about what the role of a leader is. And you have to take accountability, as you mentioned, Sean. You have to take that accountability and look at yourself and say, hey, I screwed up. I got to fix it, and I got to make it right.
And it's really, and that's when you get into personal development and self-improvement, both on the leadership side as well as the development of the people that you hire. What are some of the tips on goal setting and self-reflection?
Well, so for goals, basically, we have frameworks, you know, SMART, whatever it is. I think at the end of the day, what matters for goal setting is to make sure that the bar you're trying to achieve is attainable, but it is difficult. So it needs to be really ambitious. You want to make sure you have ambition in your goal. You want to have stretch in your goal because people develop when they're stretched, when it's not just a layup. And so you want to make things attainable so they're achievable, but you want to make sure we all have to work to get here. You know, it's sort of like, you know, trying to climb Everest, right? We have to go one stage at a time. So our goal this time is going to be stage one, stage two, stage three, stage four. And we know, and make sure you know when you get there, we have milestones and you celebrate success along the journey. So I think that's really, really important in terms of goal setting is to set up that frame in terms of your mind, in terms of making sure it is honestly attainable what you're trying to achieve, but not so easy that everybody hits the mark every time.
Well, that's really important. So how can we reach out to you? You have a website, social media there, Omar, so we can, because you mentioned several books. Tell us some background on how we can follow you.
Well, I appreciate that, Rashawn. So my website, www.omarlharris.com, is the best place to get access and learn more about myself. On Amazon.com, Omar L. Harris. If you Google Omar L. Harris, all my books will come up and my socials will come up. And on Instagram, OmarL.Harris, and LinkedIn, OmarL.Harris. So basically made it pretty easy for you to find me.
Well, great. For first of all, thank you for coming on the show, because, you know, this is the first time I've had a kind of like, I believe I've given a leadership session on the show from a standpoint of management, a standpoint of strategy, because sometimes I have to look in the mirror. I have to understand that I invited these people and I put a Indeed ad in and saying I'm hiring, that I have to go through the process of not just hiring the first person to come through the door because I don't feel like doing this. I have to hire the best person because there's a commitment on both sides. The commitment that I'm going to walk them into a culture to give them an opportunity to succeed, and also train them so they can succeed in the mindset of what my level of expectation. Is that correct?
100%. And for me, you know, you asked me earlier, how do I judge success of leadership? And it comes down to, I look back at my career and look at the amount of leaders that I've created who have gone and surpassed me in terms of corporate leadership. And that's how I judge my success. If you achieve the level that I was at when I was leading you or above that, that to me is success, because true leaders make other leaders.
Cool. Thank you, Omar Harris, for calling in and speaking to me on Money Making Conversations Masterclass, because you have given us a class today, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Money Making Conversations Masterclass. Money Making Conversations Masterclass with Rushon McDonald is produced by 3815 Media Inc. More information about 3815 Media Inc. is available at 3815media.com. And always remember to lead with your gifts.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
The wait is over. The Chi is back on Paramount Plus, and the stakes have never been higher. Everything changes on the South Side when a new threat comes to power in the Showtime original series from Emmy winner Lena Waithe. Battle lines will be drawn, alliances will shift, and danger lies around every corner, leaving everyone to wonder who they can trust. Visit ParamountPlus.com/The Chi to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto-renews. Restrictions apply.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.